days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe.
Yes, hi. It's Mr. Magoo. Well, I was wondering, where in the Sam hell is the radio show? I pay you good money for Infonomicon, and I want to see some results. Now get back to work!
Wait, this show isn't a family broadcast. This show wouldn't even work safe. It's not family safe, it's not kid safe, it isn't wife safe, it isn't car safe, it isn't even adult safe. You should really turn it off right now. Okay, now that the losers are gone, let's get down to some business.
I'm going to watch the Supreme Court case, I hope you all will too, with interest, because, you know, the irony is, the Motion Picture Association of America tried desperately to make a VCR illegal in the early 80s. Jack Valenti went and testified in front of Congress and said, the VCR is to the motion picture what the Boston Strangler is to the woman home alone. You know what? It's a lucky thing he didn't succeed. It's a lucky thing the Supreme Court had the wisdom to say, no, it's not illegal, because the motion picture industry has been making $25 billion a year ever since on VHS rentals and sales, and now DVD rentals and sales. If Jack Valenti had succeeded, hundreds of billions of dollars a year lost. They're about to do the same thing. And everybody from the Bush administration, the Christian Coalition, the Eagles, to the motion picture and record companies have filed briefs with the Supreme Court saying, yes, please, make this illegal. Make these companies liable. They don't realize they're just killing themselves.
Wow, Jack, that's pretty harsh. What do you have to say about that?
Why is Eddie always picking on me?
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that, cut me, working for you. Whoa.
Where were you on November 22nd, 1963?
And now, here's Johnny.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your...
This is Slicko from BizNet Radio, and I listen to Infonomicon Radio at infonomicon.org, because it's tech news you need, like it or not.
This is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio. Well, as you notice, again, I'm not joined by the co-host, Mr. Obfuscated, but Mr. Obfuscated asked me to pass along that he isn't going to be doing the radio show for a while. It seems real life is a little bit more important than internet radio. I don't know how that works, but for some people, that's how it goes. You're going to be listening to me till I run out of money paying for bandwidth. So, on with the show. Yahoo just celebrated their 10th birthday, and they gave people ice cream. That's right, if you printed out the thing they sent you, you could take it to a Baskin-Robbins, they'd give you a free scoop of ice cream. And Yahoo says, well, the reason we decided ice cream would be a good thing to give out was that all of our employees liked ice cream. Yada, yada, yada. I think that Yahoo said, you know, we could give out ice cream, Baskin-Robbins isn't on the deal, Baskin-Robbins needs some free advertising. But we need to make a little money off this. We just don't want to give something to people for free. How could we do that? Oh, I know. I know how we could make a lot of money off this. Let's make it a really, really big picture. Lots of color ink that you've got to use. And we'll get Epson and Canon and HP and Lexmark in on the deal. And people will use a lot of ink. A lot of ink. And there's a lot of people that don't use their printer very often. As I found the other day, because I don't use the color at all on my printer. And, well, the heads were clogged, it didn't print out very well, and I said, you know, I should fix this. And fixing it just means you're pretty much spewing a lot more ink through there to clean the print heads, and it's just wasting your ink. Just wasting, wasting, wasting. You think if you're paying as much money as you pay for ink, they wouldn't have the need of wasting your ink all the time to clean it. I mean, it's expensive. We know. You're charging us too much. We know. Don't fuck with me some more. But that's just how it goes. On to better news. Bill Gates got knighted. Or is getting knighted. This is old news. He finally found it in his schedule, you know, to go to England to become a knight. You know, he's a busy guy. He can't just go get knighted. He has to wait a couple years to get it. And they said the reason he's getting knighted, well, he's helped the British commerce, and he's been such a good guy, giving so much of his money away, and this, that, and the other. Well, I'm sure y'all have heard of Carnegie Mellon. Well, Carnegie and Mellon, they were sons of bitches. They got money very dirty, and when they got older in life, they decided that they should repent a little. And a lot of really wealthy people do this. And what they'll do is they'll give away a lot of their money. So it makes them look like, oh, they're the great guy. And, you know, they forget the atrocities that these people have committed to make this money. And they're remembered as, you know, great philanthropist. You know, fuck them. Fuck them all. But, that's how that goes. And speaking of people that are knighted, there's a whole bunch of Americans have been knighted. But two that caught my eye, Alan Greenspan, who's the head of the Federal Reserve Bank, and Bob Hope, who died recently, who was a entertainer, and he didn't miss a war, as it would be. They had to lie to him about this last desert invasion that we've had, so that he wouldn't get out of the hospital and go to rally the troops, and give them a little entertainment in a desolate place. Good guy. Alright, continuing with Microsoft news. Microsoft is releasing 13 patches for Windows. Well, they released 13 patches last month. They're not releasing any this month. They're trying to go a whole month without releasing patches. And that sounds really good, you know? I'd like to not patch my Windows box for a month. But the problem is that they need to be patched. There's still holes. Microsoft knows about the holes. They're just not patching them this month. And that's fucking lazy, but whatever, they're Microsoft. We're having a quick show. Like I said, we're only doing a 30-minute show. And I feel like taking a break for a minute. I'm only, you know, 10 minutes in. So here's a Linux tip. For today's Linux tip, we're going to be mounting an ISO under Linux. Please note that this ISO is going to be read-only. First of all, you've got to create a directory that you want to put this ISO into. I put mine in mount ISO, just make the directory, leave it empty, and we'll fill it in just a second. For the filling it part, we're going to type mount space dash T space ISO 9660 space dash O space loop space image dot ISO space mount ISO. What this is going to do, it's going to mount. And then the T specifies the type, which is ISO 9660. O specifies the options, which is loop. Then image.iso is whatever your name of your ISO is. If it's Windows XP.iso, then type Windows XP.iso. And then the last thing, the slash mount slash ISO, is the directory you just created. Then you can browse it. It's read-only. And that's how you mount an ISO in Linux. Alright, welcome back to Infonomicon. This is Droops. I'm going to be talking right now about Intel. Intel has come up with a pretty clever way of selling their chips. They're having trouble selling. They're thinking, you know, we need to double sales. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, I know what we can do. Let's start putting bundles of two chips together for multi-processor systems. And let's say that's the new wave of the future. No more of this gigahertz myth. We're going to... You have to have two processors now. So now they just doubled their sales with this, effectively. Anyway, I think that's pretty damn clever. Some names of these products. Pressler's a code name, is with one of the two chips in one package. And Pressler is actually they're touting that the design was chosen to maximize production efficiencies, using the same production lines to produce both single-core and dual-core products simultaneously. So pretty much they're just selling the same thing, but they're selling two of them instead of one. It's pretty pretty clever little intel. They're also planning on including two dual-core chips for server systems called Dempsey and Paxful that are expected to be available in the first quarter of 2006. An Intel spokesman said that 85% of chips for servers will use multi-core technology by the end of 2006, while 70% of its Pentium chips for PCs will be multi-core by that time. Now, AMD is not standing down. They're expecting to have dual-core chips for servers in the middle of next year. And such large systems can use more technology more readily than desktop computers, an AMD spokesman said. It's true, it's easier to use your server with multi-core, but Windows is coming out, you know, in 5 years they're coming out with Longhorn, and we're going to be able to take advantage. We're going to have some powerful, powerful computers, because you're going to have two processors and 3 gigs of RAM to run this wonderful operating system that's so efficient. Oh, Lordy. Alright, let's actually talk about happiness right now. Let's talk about something really happy. Carly Fiona. Carly Fiona, who is that? She is the ex-CEO of Hewlett and Packard. Everybody knows it is HP. She ran HP into the ground. HP was already going into the ground. She dug it a little deeper, pushed it in. Piles some dirt on top of it. She's a horrible, horrible woman. And with the true entrepreneurship of my left nut. And Carly Fiona, well, let's not talk about all the people celebrating with champagne at the HP headquarters the day that she left. Let's not talk about that. That's mean. Let's talk about her slogan for HP. Her slogan was invent. Now, back when HP was founded by Bill Hewlett and Bill Packard and Walter Hewlett, excuse me, they invented stuff. They invented calculators. They kind of messed up by not going along with the whole Apple computer thing that was pitched to him when he was trying to show him his computer that he built. But they invented things. They were clever. They helped with inkjet technology, things like that. She came up, the company slogan's going to be invent. And pretty much the only thing they invented that was noteworthy during her time was they invented the HP iPod. And they said, you know, Apple's got this product, it's an iPod, let's invent Apple's iPod with our brand on it. And instead of producing them ourselves, let's just ask Apple if they'll make them. So, goodbye to this woman. Something else that's happy. Nauticon's coming up April 8th through 9th. It's in, like, Cleveland, Ohio, which is a long way for me to go, but I'm debating going. I'm trying to see if the wife will go with me. Meet some people, have a good time, but they're having a 72-hour radio spectacular. They're asking for people to send in new clips at 30 minutes or an hour or however long you want to do it. Makes it easy if you have it in 30-minute increments. Send it in for their 72-hour radio show, or station. They're going to broadcast it over the internet. They're going to broadcast it there, I believe. Mr. Jason Scott, and I believe Kizzle from Hacker Media are working on this. I don't know who's doing what, but I happen to know those two guys' names, and I'm going to say them, because I like dropping names on the Infonomicon. And if you're interested in making a radio show, and you don't have a place to put it, you want people to hear your first one. Well, actually, do a couple, and then don't ever show them to people. I should have done that, because my first two are kind of embarrassing, but they're worse than this, believe it or not. Anyway, you can send it in to these people at Nauticon, and they'll put it on their thing. They're trying to have 72 hours of new stuff. You can probably send them music. You just need to look into it. And I believe there's a link on the Nauticon.org website. Okay, moving on down. iPods are soon to get a new processor that's supposedly going to give them 3 times the battery length. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive it is. Of course, there's lots of shit you can plug into your iPod to waste your battery, like flashlights, laser pointers, FM transmitters, crap like that. And happiness on the iPod front, it's estimated that 80% of the softies, which are Microsoft employees, have a portable music player, and out of that 80%, 80% of them own an iPod. They have to hide their iPod. They have a little trouble with the management. Management sending out memos. Supposedly, there's a store right near there that sells iPods, and they sell 200 every week, and they're having trouble keeping them in stock because of the softies purchasing them. According to management at Microsoft, it's a bad career move to have one at work in the Windows Digital Media Group. Guess they're kind of anti-iPod with their whole, what's it called, Plays for Sure. But they're all over the Macintosh Business Unit. They flaunt theirs because they make Apple software. And they're all over everywhere else, but they're having to change their headphones and things like that. And, of course, Microsoft's complaining about this, not only their employees, but everyone else. They don't like iPods. iPods are challenging them. And with their Plays for Sure thing that I've talked about on the radio show, Microsoft is complaining that Apple is locking people into a proprietary format. That's ridiculous. That's Microsoft's plan. It's like, hey, we always punch below the belt. Like, that's pretty much our game plan. But that fucker over there, man, he cheats. He hits people below the belt. He's a fucker. Oh, Jesus Christ. Also, I tested the new Netscape 8.0 beta. But before I give you my review, let's go for a Windows tip. And here's today's Windows tip. Microsoft made a utility called BootVis, BootVis. You can download it from websites like MajorGeeks.com. And what this program does is it'll speed up your startup in Windows XP. So download it, install it, go up to File, New, and then Next Boot, Drivers Trace. This will tell the computer that on the next boot, we're going to see what the drivers are doing and see how we can optimize the boot process. You can also do this for hibernating and standbys so that that'll go a little quicker for you also. Alright, after you select one of these, it's going to ask you about how many times you want to do it. 1 is fine, 2 is okay, any more than 2 you're just wasting your time, and then it will reboot the computer. It's going to take a minute to reboot the computer, and it's going to take a minute to open back up, and when it does open, it's going to show you some really interesting graphs. You can look and see how your system boots. Then go up to the Trace, Optimize System, and that will optimize your computer for a few minutes, and then it'll reboot again, and it'll reboot pretty damn quickly. Now, all this is going to take a little while, so don't do it all the time, but do it after every driver install. This has been your Windows tip. All right, back to my Netscape 8.0 beta review. It's based off of Mozilla, which, just like Firefox, except it's a larger download than Mozilla. And it comes bundled with a certain application. And if we think about this, who owns Netscape? That's AOL Time Warner. They bundle AIM with it. Come on. People are going to Netscape, not because it's Netscape, it's because it's not Internet Explorer, and it's not full of shit. But you're gonna put shit with it. No one's gonna go use your fucking browser. Please listen to my radio show. Please listen. I'm telling you the truth. You might have some brand recognition, but if you just fuck it up more than you fucked it up already, then you're just going to be fucked. Alright. Sorry with that. In your EULA, it also says it's allowed to update itself without you knowing, without you okaying, and it can change the terms of the EULA without telling you. That's nice. You install it, It asks your zip code. I was a little wary. Said it was going to be using it for weather, and sure enough, it tells you the weather of your location, which is kind of nice if you like browser clutter. It's ugly as hell. Your file bar is over on the right-hand side, so the left-hand side like it is in every other Windows application, and that's going to make it confusing for old people. It was annoying for me, and, you know, I'm used to things changing. You're only allowed 8 tabs at a time to be shown. You can have more than 8 tabs open, but only 8 are shown. It's got pop-up blocking turned on by default, but I managed to open up some pop-ups and new tabs somehow. Never done that before. And the tabs are a little differently set than Mozilla. Like, if you have 3 tabs open, and on the first one you click, middle click for a new tab, it's going to open up right next to it, not on the end. Of course, you can change that. And if you close a tab, it'll go to the last tab that you had open instead of just the one on the left or right, however Mozilla does it. And you can change that too, but that's kind of annoying. But the coolest part about this whole browser, I don't know if it's cool as much as something I don't like, but maybe somebody would. They have a trustworthy test, as it would be. And every website gets passed through this trustworthy test. If it's a trustworthy website, it'll render it in Internet Explorer. So if you want to do your Windows updates, you can do it through Netscape, because it's obviously going to trust Microsoft for some reason. And it'll render it as Internet Explorer, ActiveX will work, and you can install your Windows updates, which is kind of cool. If it's a non-trustworthy site, though, it's not going to display it in Internet Explorer. It's going to render it in Firefox. And it's also going to show you this big yellow shield on the tab for that site. Microsoft.com gets a big green, oh, I'm safe shield. And they fucked a lot of computers up. But Infonomicon gets a big yellow shield because it's not a trustworthy site. We're not going to hurt anybody, you know. Anyway, you're not allowed to make a site green once it's yellow. You're only allowed to change what's inside of the yellow shield. You can change it from, my Windows computer crashed. And I thought I had written that in the new text file, but I didn't. So I'm reading my show notes from. I forgot to save my text file I was working on. Anyway, it's got an exclamation point for a site that's horrid. It's got 3 dashes for a site that's okay, but untrustworthy. It's like unknown or untrustworthy. And it's got a check for a site that's, you know, it's untrustworthy, but we like it. It's good. You can trust it. But it's untrustworthy. And I think that's just going to confuse people more than it's going to help anything. Something else that's really neat is it allows Firefox extensions, so all your cool Firefox things you're allowed to do in it. And it has a button on the front of it that will clear your tracks, like your cache, your cookies, your downloads, your search history, things like that. Or you can clear each one of those individually. Of course, in Firefox, you can do all that too, but you gotta click on tools and something else. This way, it just has a button right on the front. That's kind of neat. Cheers to Netscape for doing that. Alright, here's another Windows tip for everybody that's forced to run Windows. It's how to get rid of that annoying search puppy. Open up your search dialog and you'll see this little puppy named Rover that's trying to help you with your searching. He doesn't really do anything except clutter up your desktop and use a little bit of your CPU cycles, and I know a lot of the listeners don't have the latest, greatest computers, so let's get rid of this thing. Down at the bottom left, there's a Change Preferences link. Click on it. You can disable Search Puppy from right there, or you can change him to something else, like a wizard, or a old woman in a flying car, or a surfboarding banana. I couldn't figure out a way to keep the surfboarding banana but disable the sounds, but if you look, you can find these things stored on your computer as a .acs file. Something you can also do while you're handy that would really improve your computer is you can index your searches, and that'll make them go a little bit faster. This has been another Windows tip. Just a note for all the listeners, if you have a tip that you would like to have included in Infonomicon, please email it to me, and I'll put it on there. You can even record yourself giving the tip. And if you do a good job, I'll put it on Infonomicon. Now remember, standards for good job are equivalent with me or better, so it's really not that hard. So record yourself, send it in. We'll put you on the radio, or the internet radio. The radio show of the week this week is Radio Freak America from over at oldschoolfreak.com. They spell school with S-K-O-O-L. If you're having trouble typing that in, if you've never heard of that before. RFA, Radio Freak America, was a show done by Dual Parallel and a host of other cohorts. And it's a really good show. They've quit doing it. So some of the information's a little old, but most of it is concepts. The concepts are still valid. So go check it out. We actually created an XML file for RFA, and we put it on our website, and we never advertised it as another one was created. And I was checking the stats the other day, and almost 1,000 people had hit it. So that's pretty good. Changing the episodes on it, we have the XML feed. I'm going to put that up on the show notes. Or just head on over to oldschoolfreak.com and check it out there. All right, the word of the week is power frustration. It's the negative response that you get from a low power indicator. Like last night, I was talking to Obfuscated on the phone, crying and crying and crying because he couldn't do the radio show. And he said, oh shit, my phone's about to go. And then it went out. And that was power frustration. We were frustrated about that. Sight of the week is a game that I seem to not be, that I can't stop playing. I need to be doing other things. I need to be studying. I need to be doing this. I need to be working on my house. I need to be making Infonomicon longer than 30 minutes. But instead, I seem to be playing this damn game over at peninacan.com/crash.swf. It's hard to explain. It's, you're this dead guy that gets run over by this girl on a bicycle. She kills you, and you can control what angle and how powerful it is when she hits, and you bounce and try not to fall into someone that loves you. It's just bad. It's bad, but it's addicting. Please go to podcastalley.com and vote for us. The /dot review is higher than us. The /dot review. That's what I'm trying not to be, is being fucking review of /dot. I mean, how easy is that? So vote for us instead of those fucks. Bring us up a little bit. And the closing music this week is by Les Horribles Sirenettes. Supposedly they were rumored, speaking of /dot, they were rumored to be the first pitcher on the internet. So this is a song they've got, and I'm only going to play about a minute and a half of it because I don't have much time for the radio show. But everybody, I'm Mickey Finn.
You can ring, you can ring, and I won't show up. You can phone, and I won't pick up. You can write and you can fax, straight in the scrap. You can scream and you can shout, and I won't wake up. You can catch me on the web. Click me, click on me. Link me on the web. Oh baby, a hyperlink to you. Surf me on the web. My page is all for you. Call me on the web. I'll open my windows to you. You can ring, you can ring.